Hi, where are you all calling from?
Alice,
New Jersey.
Hi, Florida.
Salem, Oregon.
Louisiana.
Okay. Virginia.
Florida. Kentucky.
Okay, Kentucky.
Arkansas.
New Jersey.
Okay.
New York.
Yeah.
Albuquerque.
Albuquerque, okay.
San Francisco.
Okay.
Fortuna, California.
Okay.
Olympia, Washington.
South Carolina.
Oh. Well, California's winning so far. Okay.
Yeah,
Olympia, Washington.
South Carolina.
Okay.
St. John's,
San Jose, New Mexico.
New Mexico, that's you. Okay. Well, welcome everyone for joining me in the first call for the healing certification course. I hope you're all enjoying it as much as I've enjoyed doing it, and it's an intense course. So congratulations for taking it, and it's a quite an intense course and something which will change your life if you wanted to. And again, just like any other type of course or book or class or any type of study, you get out of it what you want to put into it, and also many things will resonate to you, maybe now or maybe another time. Don't feel you have to be forced to be enlightened right away with this course, but these are tools for you, and you will progress and develop and unfold as your soul is meant to. So I thought we'd start our first session with a prayer, an opening prayer. Okay, so I'm just going to ask a divine heavenly parent, we ask a blessing on everyone here that is in our certification course and on this phone call. We thank you, dear spirit friends, spirit world, our guides and teachers and healing guides, that for helping us to open up our minds to the great flow of the divine power, of that God force, that healing force, which everything can come into oneness and wholeness of being. We thank you, dear spirit world, for watching over our souls as we take on these understandings and open up our minds into these new world of looking at life and ourselves. We thank you and know you that you, dear God, energy, grace, are always with us. And may you always be there flowing with us and open up our fears, our doubts, and our belief that we indeed are God beings of light. We thank you and we bless you. And so it is. Here we go. So I have Emily Manning here. Emily's been the really the forefront that helped me with my courses for the school. She's kind of like the principal of the school, I would say. Would you say, Emily? Principal.
I guess so.
I think you are. And helps me a lot with everything. And so Emily's here to kind of moderate our calls. And we're going to take some calls from we have the Facebook page. We've been on the Facebook page, took some questions from there. And also we'll take some live calls from you here. And you want to get started, Emily?
Yes, let's get started. So if you have a question, press star 6 to get in the queue, and we will start taking your questions. Oh, we already have a bunch of people. I just scrolled down. Okay. Let's first go to Alexis is the name coming up.
Alexis. Hi, Alexis.
Thank you. Hi, James. How are you?
Great, honey. How are you?
I'm okay.
Good.
Fantastic course. Very concise.
Thank you.
Centering, clearing, cleansing, refilling, connecting, all of that I'm working on with the lesson one is going very, very well.
Great.
And it makes a great impact on me, you know, getting stronger every day. But the thing
is... And you know what, Alexis, you got to make sure, and this, I think everybody that's listening, you know, even though all of you might not get a phone call, most of it gets through everyone usually, but you might have the same exact question, happens all the time, so definitely listen for the answer. But the one thing I just get, Alexis, to when I hear your voice, sometimes I just jump in psychically to some things.
It's okay.
You got to make sure you do it every day, though. Try to do the practicing every day. Like what I do in the morning with the shower, I clean my physical body, and then I do the cleansing. I'll bring down the light, and I'll work spiritually, cleansing the space around me and through me, and then I let go of any debris out of my fingertips and toes, and I program my day by saying, may God go before me and show me the way, and that's
right.
Become a habit. And with all these, from the first course, the first lesson, it really should become kind of a habit on a daily basis.
Yes. That's. Okay. I just did that 15, 20 minutes ago again
yes,
today.
Yes, exactly. Because it also opens up your mindset to thinking that way, to bring your mind up to that way of believing, and it has an effect.
Yes. My question is that when I'm in the midst of a moment,
yes.
when I'm with someone who is having a hissy fit temper tantrum because of fear or old beliefs or control, do you have any sort of a quick go-to
yes.
to get me?
I certainly do.
Keeping in myself in those
yes,
moments.
Yes, it works for you, it works for them. So what you do is it's called the pause button. And what I do is I just say, okay, so let's say you're dealing with somebody who's freaking out. I said, okay, stop. I said, breathe. Let's breathe together. You can either hold their hands or just go, I'll breathe with it. Come and breathe in and breathe out and breathe in and breathe out. And just, you can do it like three times maybe. Just get them back to center because they're, usually when they're freaking out, they're in their heads. They're so in their heads. And you want to get them back to their hearts and just say, you know, what is the worst thing that could happen here? What is the worst thing? Then try to bring them back into perception. Okay, and instead of them having a knee-jerk, and us, instead of having a knee-jerk reaction, the pausing can help us to stop, observe it, observe exactly what's going on, not to jump in a reactionary way. And we do that, sometimes when we react so quickly, we don't come to the right way, and it makes the case worse. So we want to pause. It's called the pause button, the reset. And just let them do that, and you do that, and it works. It does work, and let them see clearly. That's the worst thing. And there'll always be people that are worse, and always be people that are better. There's always, you know, we never can compare ourselves. And we also got to remember that there's always divine intelligence that's working here.
Okay, because I've noticed that with doing the exercises, when things start escalating a little bit, I feel more of the observer. And I can get through the situation, but then maybe half an hour, 2 hours later, I go back to it, and then I start going, you know, old habits.
That's great. You did just said a great thing. So observing, that's my secret, too. I observe things. So if there's something that happens, and I'm freaking out, or a client's freaking out, we stop, pause button, and say, okay, let's observe it. Instead of getting into it emotionally, what's really going on here? What is happening? What patterns are coming up again? You know, what old patterns are coming up? My reactions might be the old way of thinking, the old ways of being. So when you pause a little bit, it gives you a new way to, wait a minute, let me deal with this a little bit differently and see what happens if I look at it differently.
Okay.
All right? Keep it going. It's great. Observation is great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Alexis.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Okay, James, we have a few people who have this question on the Facebook page regarding setting up their personal space for healing.
Yeah.
A few people, or I imagine more than a few,
I just
are
saw
having
one of them.
Problems.
It's beautiful. The one with the lady that has two children. Yeah, that's beautiful. Yes.
Child. Wouldn't it be fun if everyone posts their photos? That would actually be
I think that'd be great if you guys were to post photos of your sacred space. That'd be fabulous. It would help other people out, too, who are trying to do it.
Yeah, let's do that. So everyone post your photos and inspire one another.
Exactly.
And maybe we'll vote for the best one.
Yeah, we'll vote for the best one. Fabulous. Okay.
Yes. Okay. So a few people are asking about if they don't have an actual room to set aside for healing. What do you recommend in that instance? Like as far as if they're a particular room they should put a space, like if they can use a space in, you know, their bedroom,
well,
living room.
You know, I did it when I lived in a studio apartment. Seriously, a studio apartment. And it was in a garage. It was a leftover garage, and that's what I had to work with. And what I did was I put it, it was like a little tiny porch, and I did something on the porch with a little candle and a plant and a crystal. You can do it in a corner of a room. You can do it, it doesn't have to be big. It's just a sacred space. It's a smaller space. You can do a tabletop. So remember, that space, no matter how big or how small it is, even if it's a shelf, in a bookshelf, you make that as an altar. You make it like an altar. And from that space, when you put those sacred objects in there, it will remind you that you're setting your intention and the healing energy. And that's what it is. So it will come from that space. So, for instance, when I work at my office, as you've been here, I create a space here. I had someone over here today, and I saged my room. And I have, as you know, a nice office as far as energetically. But the person that came in really didn't know, they've been there before, and they said, wow, this room is filled with energy. I said, yeah, it is. And it's just, it's what we put the intention we put behind it. So it doesn't matter the size of it, just the intention. It can be a bookshelf or a corner of the room is just fine.
Okay, perfect.
Hey,
so
you know,
Michael,
I also want to
Rita.
Say, also in a small space too, Emily, people can put mirrors there, and the mirror can reflect out, and that can bring the energy into the room as well. That's another helpful hint. They can bring the energy out into the middle of the room. That'd be good. I've done that before.
So where did they put the mirrors, though?
Right above let's say it's a corner of a room. They can put the mirror right there, a little mirror right there, so it can reflect out in the middle of the wall. That's fine. Depends on how big the size is. I'm doing it right now.
Oh,
in a room.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, I'm doing it right now in a room of mine. So, yep.
Okay, perfect.
Reflecting the energy into the room. Uh huh.
So would they face the mirror towards the healing area or away from the healing
exactly,
area?
Exactly, toward the healing area. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Perfect. All right, so that should answer a lot of your questions on that one. Perfect. Let's go to a mystery caller.
Mystery, I love mystery callers.
At 408-499.
Sounds like Phoenix to me.
Well, hi. Thanks for taking my call, but you just answered it.
Oh, there you go. And what's your name, mystery caller?
My name's Kathleen.
Hi, Kathleen. So you were wondering about the space, the healing space?
Yeah, because okay. I live in a 500-square-foot
There you go.
Yeah, with my dog, and so I think a corner is just perfect.
It's perfect, yep.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Thanks, Kathleen.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Okay, that's funny. All right, let's go to the next mystery caller with 859-338.
859, don't know where that is. Midwest, New Mexico? Who is this? Mystery caller, enter and sign
Amy.
In, please. Yes, who are you?
This is Amy. I'm in Central Kentucky,
Amy,
in the middle of nowhere.
Okay. Okay, good.
I have a couple of questions. One that's been asked several times on the website,
yeah.
And then one more specific to my situation. First, because I'm an empath and an intuitive empath like everybody else on the call,
yeah.
Sometimes I have difficulty telling where I end and the other person's feelings or problem begin, if that makes sense.
Yep.
I do try, you know, to do a practice of grounding myself and, you know, creating the, you know, the globe of protection around me and all that. But sometimes I fail.
Okay.
Or, you know, I just can't tell, is it that I'm feeling this or is it somebody else?
Okay.
Okay. So, and the second question.
Yes.
Do you want the second one, or
no? Let me answer the first one first.
So,
really, what you need to know is really to get in touch with your own soul, to recognize your own soul's energy, what that feels like, that effervescence of who you are. You know, you have to know clearly who you are, what you feel like. So, how do you do that? Well, I think one of the best ways is, and I do this for mediumship as well. It's sitting in the stillness, sitting in the quiet. So, mm-hmm. do you have a chance to sit? You have children, or can you sit in the quiet in the evenings, or no?
I can be. Yeah,
he's, be great.
He's in college now. So
okay, great.
It's
so
a lot quieter.
If you can do it every night, that'd be great. If you can only do it once a week, fine. But if you can do it and probably do like 15 minutes would be just fine.
Awesome.
And you can imagine grounding yourself or running your energy would be great. And just feel Mother Earth coming up, your legs to your heart and the cosmic energy coming down the head to the heart. Meld the two together and then send it forward like a shower into Mother Earth and you recycle it. So it's running all at the same time. It's called running your energy.
Right.
And if you just run your energy and work with chakras, and then get really into your heart space, that's where your soul is, and begin to feel the going, your soul will speak to you in the quiet. It really does. And you get to understand who you are on a really innate level. It's really nice. So have that relationship with yourself because you're too much in your head, and you've got to go to your heart. And then once you have your own sense of who you are truly from a soul perspective and your own energy, then you'll clearly be able to tell whose other energy is coming into the space and who's around you. Okay?
Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
Okay, next one.
Great. Thank you. Yeah. Well, I'm kind of weird. I'm a physician that feels the disease that my patients have.
Oh, cool.
When I'm in the room with them.
Cool.
It's taken me, I don't know, 10 years, 15 years to figure out that that's really what's going on.
Right. You're very psychic,
Yeah, in training where you always had to explain why it is you want to do a certain test on a patient because you suspect they have X, Y, or Z,
right.
I'd get in trouble because I would just say, I just know that's what they have.
Isn't that great?
You know,
wow, what a great thing
it's like
to
a
have.
Knowing, but
that's right.
It's not 100%. Don't get too
excited.
No,
but that's pretty great.
But anyway, so it's taken me forever to figure out that that's actually what's going on.
Let me tell you also, sitting in the silence is going to help you with that. It's going to help that get even better and better. It'll help your psychic work as well.
Okay.
So that's
okay.
really going to
well,
be cool
I'll,
for you.
Okay.
So trust it. Just
well,
go and trust it. You know, it's good. That's a good
well,
thing.
Well, I think that's part of it is I have trouble trusting it. And then I overthink because I'm a doctor, you know. So my dilemma is if I finally quit Western medicine, which I'd love to do, and have the courage to go out and do more of a holistic you know, intuitive medical practice. Where do I define ethically my expertise? I mean,
you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater, okay? So you had many years of training as far as medical science, and that's great, and you've got to keep that. But you can also, on the side, do some type of healing work, energetic healing work with some patients, and you can just do that as, you know, word of mouth. That's fine. And that's fine. You know, more people in Western medicine now are being very, very open to other alternative ways of healing. I mean, Reiki practitioners are so, I mean, the increase is incredible now. So I would just, you know, you'll be shocked when you start doing that, how many people are going to say, oh, wow, I want a session with you. So I take it slowly. Don't overthink it. Just go with the flow. You know, you're opening up. You're unfolding when you're meant to. So this is good.
Okay, good. When you went over the ethics of, you know, disclosing I'm a novice at this, whatever, sometimes I can't tell if this is my intellect telling me what I think is wrong with him or my intuition. So ethically, I don't want to say, you know, I'm a doctor, I understand.
Right. Well, see, you're already there. You're already the doctor, so you understand you have to be ethical. You have the responsibility. So what you can say, it depends on each individual case. I feel a certain way. Maybe you should check this out. I mean, I'm feeling this, you know, I'm just feeling, I know what it means, but I'm feeling this, and this is what I'm feeling, I might not be right, so this is what I'm feeling, but check it out. And it all depends also on your delivery. Remember, the secret here is that you want to empower people, not disable people. You know,
that's really
what you want to do, and you know that. You have a good sense of responsibility.
Awesome.
All right, thanks.
Thank
good luck. So much. Silence, my love.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Okay, we have some great ones on the Facebook page as well about helping people heal who aren't necessarily open to it. For example, Betsy, so she's been practicing healing meditations for her son who's 21 and had to take a year off college due to depression. I'm afraid that he'll scoff at the idea if I try a hands-on session. How effective is this for him and his energy field to work on the meditation element?
Well, there's a lot of things going on here, a lot of layers to this, in that number one, no matter what kind of spiritual discipline it is, whether it's healing work, whether it's psychic work, anything, you can't force people to take part in it. If they choose not to, you can't force yourself upon them. That being said, she can educate him as much as she can. If he still scoffs at it, that's fine. She can also, though, do absent healing. So with absent healing, The client, or in this case her son, is at a distance. So he's in his room or is it visiting somewhere. And she can send that divine light into him and through him and that God's flow to that. That's fine. So that she can do that and educate him at the same time.
Okay. So absent healing, which I believe we actually cover at the end of, I think it's
lesson
8.
We do. Yes.
Okay.
It's a very big part of healing, absent healing. Yeah. Because that's where prayer work comes in for people that are ill. That we go, you know, they're in the hospital, we pray for them, they're not physically with us, they're in a different state or a different country, that's absent healing, sending them that divine force, opening up the channels for them. Mm-hmm.
And what about, I think Fred also has a similar question, it takes it another step farther, what about can his intentions heal another if they don't believe in the work he's doing?
Well, I mean, you know, you have to realize that they're putting walls up, but you can again, send that positive light. Everybody is God, so there you go. Everybody's that divine light. And if they put a wall up not believing that they're that, it's going to be a little harder, of course. It's restrictive, I should say. It'd be a lot easier if they're just open to that. But I would find that the person that closed in that way, they're probably closed in other areas of their life, too. So there's got to be a relationship with themselves, a change in the mindset, realizing that they are indeed divine. So that's hard sometimes, but listen, your thoughts are things, and they can send the energy to that person, and it will get to them. I would like the person to be more open because it'd be easier, but it will get to them. It'll seep in, if you will.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Dean is the name that is coming up at 505.
Hi.
Is this Dean?
This is actually Carol. Dean.
Hi, Carol. Dean's your husband.
My boyfriend. Hi.
My boyfriend. Hi. Where are you calling from, Carol?
Albuquerque.
Albuquerque. Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I am totally new to this. I'm an engineer by training.
You're an engineer too. Okay. Wow. Left brain.
I'm
okay.
Out to, you know, the world about what I believe in, and
great.
Right now I feel kind of sick to my stomach as if I have to do public speaking.
Don't worry about that. You know what? You just envision your people nude in the audience. That's it. Makes it easier.
Okay.
Someone told me that once, and it's like, I can't do that. But it, you know, or also you can open with a joke, and if you do a joke, a self-effacing joke, that's great. It'll get them right in.
Okay. So I wanted to know how do I, you know, come out sort of to tell. I don't even know how to tell people what I believe in. And
now you're talking about spiritual healing. Either psychic work, intuitive healing, alternative healing. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah.
Be more specific.
Yeah. I feel like I need to go out and find sort of practice with people and just maybe offer to do free workshops.
Is there a bookstore near you or like a New Age bookstore or an organization around you somewhere?
Oh, there are. Uh-huh.
Sure, perfect. Go there, offer free sessions, and before you know it, more people will come to you. They'll attract themselves. You'll be attracting them. So that's the beginning.
I'm not sure about my own powers yet.
Well, you got to get out of your head.
Okay.
and realize that, you know, you came from somewhere and you got to go somewhere. You didn't just pop up and here you are. You've been around for eons of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you close your eyes, you'll see you're still there. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So and since you're so left brain, what I would suggest also is to study consciousness. You might want to study or read books on consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that might help you.
Okay.
Yeah, different levels of consciousness. I think for an engineer to wrap their head around that, that makes sense. And also quantum physics.
Mm-hmm.
Have you done that yet, quantum physics?
Yeah, I've taken some. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would do that, and I'd say definitely read some stuff on books on consciousness, because I think that'll be the key to open the door for you to understand it. Because there'll be words in there and insights and phrases and the way they place things that you'd understand it better probably.
Yeah, there's this new concept about dark energy. It comes from nowhere.
Yeah, so you should look into that. And then, you know, the power of the mind, you know, the power of the mind. Look, read some books, The Power of the Mind. Important, very good books. Joel Goldsmith, you should look up. Joel Goldsmith, an author who Science of Mind, but he was a little bit Christian-based, which is fine if God is in there and Jesus, but you'll get the essence of it. And he also was a very left-brain person, and then he found this works, The Power of the Mind. And also, you know, who would speak to you? Emmett Fox. E-M-M-E-T-T Fox, F-O-X. Really, really great stuff, and you'd love that. And there's one more which you'll really love. This guy was a genius. Alan Watts, W-A-T-T-S. Alan Watts was a real genius. He was an engineer as well and a philosopher.
Mm-hmm.
So Alan Watts you'll really relate to. Really, I would check him out today.
Okay.
He's passed over now, but his stuff is all around.
Okay.
Okay, honey, thanks for calling. Bye, Carol.
Bye.
Okay, let's go to Ben is the name coming up at 702.
Ben, 702, Las Vegas.
Hi, it's actually Bernadette.
Hi, Bernadette. Are you in
Las Vegas?
Yes,
Las Vegas, Nevada.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I saw you here when you were here in April. It was wonderful.
Oh, great. Yeah, it was wonderful. Exactly.
It really was, yeah. But my question is, when you're working on someone who has told you not to work on them or...
Why would you work on somebody who said you didn't want to be worked on?
Well, I'm more talking in regard to the lady who asked about her son, who kind of rejects what she's doing and everything.
Right.
I know when I work on my son, he tells me, just don't put your hands on me because you're too hot.
Okay,
but,
that's fine.
Ask somebody, when you're working on somebody in absence, are you asking their soul if they...
ask them physically if you can work
first.
On them. Yeah.
Okay.
And also absent healing, it helps if you have a photograph of that person as well.
Oh, most definitely.
That,
I
that
always
would really
use
help.
Yeah.
And that
and
was
one
the
of the
sacred
things,
space, the sacred healing space, put the picture there.
Yeah, and then one of the things that I learned with Reiki, one of the things I've learned in the past is you may just sending them a message, you may accept or reject this energy. Yeah, as I'm sending it.
Sure.
So
that's fine. You can do that. That's fine. You know, what it comes down to, and you'll learn later on in the lesson if we go more into it, but is that everybody is really, that again, I'm going to repeat it, God, divine power. They're not the body. So sometimes what you're doing is just opening people up to the realization that they are indeed energy, that they're not the body. And
right.
There is no way not to say no and not get it because it's just energy. It's positive, loving energy. So, you know what I'm saying? So it's just maybe opening up their mind to with the awareness that you are a divine being of light. That's all they might need to start healing. you know, all the levels of healing and intentions behind it. And, you know, so if we take ourselves away from limited consciousness and more aware of just opening up to all that is, to that God force, that's all it is. It's changing the perception, changing the mindset of some people. And again, they might just be open to you sending apps and healing, just sending love to them. That's fine too.
Okay.
You'll get people from all different levels. You know, you'll get people very into it and people that are not into it. So you'll get everybody. But remember that part of the reason you're going to get someone who resists or is not aware of it, they might be frightened, they might not be educated to this sort of thing. So that's something that you might be a teacher for them to help them. Again, don't force yourself, but just plant some seeds. And when it's ready to germinate, it will.
Yeah, I have a nephew that has some mental health issues because of use of drugs, and it's really hard. You know, I can't even feel him sometimes.
Mm.
It's almost like he's empty.
Just send him love. You know what I'd also do, maybe? Do you have a photograph of him?
Yes.
So maybe put a photograph in your sacred space. And maybe each day or maybe a couple of days, put a flower next to it.
Oh.
Send him love with a flower. And that represents the love that he's receiving. I think that would be really nice.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Okay. You're welcome. Thanks, Rudy.
Okay. Let's go to Brett at 337.
Hello.
Hello.
My name's Laura, and I'm
Laura.
From
I know this. Everyone has their husband's numbers. Yes, Laura.
Well, it's under his name.
That's right.
But my
where are you from, Laura?
I'm from Louisiana.
Okay, I wish I was there. Where in Louisiana?
Southwest Louisiana.
Are you sweating with the humidity down there?
Oh yes, they have a lot of humidity down here.
I know. That's one thing I don't miss that. Yes. But the crawfish is incredible.
Oh, yes. I mean, we actually, my husband farms and raises crawfish. So anytime you're in the area, I have two questions.
Yes,
one's technical. I'm a former educator, retired. My question was on Facebook that once you upload an assignment, is there no way to go back and change it?
Oh, that's an Emily question.
Yes.
That's interesting. Emily, you there?
I don't hear.
I don't hear Emily. She probably just got lost in it. I think that there might be. What's your second question? She'll come back to us.
Okay. My second question was, in the beginning lessons, you talked about God as being external and internal.
Mm-hmm.
Religion-based is external. Spiritualism is internal. My question is, can there be an overlap with the two different principles?
Yes. Yes, of course. Of course. It's like it's almost like the air that we breathe on the outside is also air on the inside. So don't get caught up in the label, the distinction there. It is the same. It doesn't change. It's more concentrated, of course, inside the body than outside. But it's the same energy there. So
a person can possibly embrace both of them.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
All right, because I had read on Facebook some people were struggling with, you know, one or the other, or maybe going forward with the content, and I embrace both of it. I may be stronger in one than the other, but
yes.
I understand both concepts right there. And then whenever Emily gets on, since I spent my
I'm actually here. It was very strange.
Oh, you're there. Okay, Emily.
Yeah, it was very strange. I started talking, and then it said subconference. Anyway, what I was saying is that you can't go back and change it, but you can resubmit it. So, and we'll see the updated versions. You can just write update when you resubmit the document.
But basically what happens, let's say we just finished lesson one. On my end, when you submit it, it has the attachments at the bottom, and there's no button to resubmit.
You can't upload again?
No.
Oh, you can't. What kind of browser are you using?
Basically, I'm using an Apple iPhone. I mean, I wasn't using a computer for this.
You weren't using a computer. Okay.
No.
Well, email our tech team and find out if there's something up with that.
Right. Because I did read
different interfaces have issues.
Right.
Okay.
I did read a lot of people were using their phone. So, I mean, basically, I just opened this. it up, and it says upload file, okay, but you can upload it as a picture or as a document. Well, what happened in the beginning was I inserted as a journal because I wanted to put my sacred space because I had seen the picture that was posted on Facebook. But when I put two, it kind of shut me down, and that's why I was questioning about going back and just doing a one-word document in case we could upload. So,
we'll ask our tech people, and we'll see how you can do that. We'll put the answer on Facebook, okay?
Yeah, and one thing I mentioned is everyone's always welcome to email us the homework if you're having problems. You can email us at help@JVP School of Mystical Arts.
And we'll get
it. Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
You're welcome.
Okay.
All right, let's go to Jill at 512.
Hi, how are y'all?
Hi, Jill.
Hi. So I kind of had a comment and a question for you.
Okay, are you from Sacramento?
No. I'm from Austin,
from?
Texas.
Austin, oh, yeah, that's right. 512 is Austin. I'm trying to memorize all my area codes. Okay, Austin. Okay,
yes.
Jill, go right ahead.
Okay, so I did lesson two today, and it was amazing. So I just kind of went through the whole thing because I was just like, couldn't stop. But I actually have a genetic illness, so of course it brought me to my whole spiritual journey.
Yeah.
And I found the part about the SciTech very, very interesting.
Oh, isn't it amazing?
Yeah. That was just
It's a trip. It really is.
Yeah,
yes, we spent 3 days
really
over there
cool.
with them. That was pretty amazingly interesting.
Yes. So today, after I finished this, I had a massive migraine. And I was, it was killing me. I was like wanting to hit my head through a wall, and I was ready to throw up. And it was so terrible. And I realized, I was like, wait, stop everything I'm doing. So I just closed my eyes, and I did the one where you put your left hand up to source. And
yep.
I just kind of ran my hand over my face.
Yep.
Well, what I noticed was when I ran my hand over the left side,
yes,
it's really hot.
Uh-huh.
But on the right side, it wasn't hot.
So
and
receiving, a lot of receiving.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, why is it just on one side, though?
Well, so you're definitely an empath. You're an empath. So what you can do, too, you know, if you can do, is you need to ground yourself more. Because if you get headaches like that, it means you're having too much energy going on into the head area, okay? So you need to bring, you know, you need to ground. We're electrical beings of energy, so we need a grounding cord. We need grounding. So what I would do then, if I were you, putting your hand up to source, and then take the other hand to your face and down your legs, and brush it off down to the earth, to Mother Earth. And also imagine there's a current of energy, of course, going all the way down your feet to Mother Earth. Any excess energy going down to Mother Earth. Because that head stuff, when you have headaches like that, it's excess energy. So you're going to bring the energy down. Mm-hmm. Another thing you could do is put your feet in cold water. And you'll be shocked, amazingly, that the energy will come right down from the head.
Okay.
All right.
Awesome. I will do that. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Thank you.
Great. Thanks.
Okay, let's go to Sydney is the name coming up.
Sydney.
Hi, James.
Hi, Sydney. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Where are you calling from?
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts. Okay, great.
Yeah, and I'm loving the course, of course.
Great.
This is like the third or fourth one I've taken with you.
Thank you.
I posted this question on Facebook, but I thought I'd hopefully get it in here.
Okay, the people, yep.
If you're healing childhood trauma for someone, working on that, on which area of the body or mind would you concentrate the healing?
Well, it depends on what the trauma is. Yeah?
Since we don't know who the person is. Actually, I would say it was physical.
Well, so let's just say physical. Let's say they were abused when they were a child. Okay?
Right.
Okay, so that would be the second chakra stuff. So it would be more orange light, second chakra, orange light. And do your healing that way. That's fine. But
the sacral chakra?
Yeah. Yep, it's okay. Chakra. Yep, that's fine. More orange energy, if that's the trauma, yeah. But also a lot of, I'm finding there's a lot of emotional traumas for people. The heart energy, that beautiful space in the heart, open up the heart space. That's really
okay.
What they need. More divine energy into the heart space.
You know, okay, yeah, that makes
yourself.
Sense.
And when you're working with people, also, you might find them wanting to, stuff comes to the surface to be healed. So they might start crying, they might cough, they might sneeze. You know, there might be some physical reaction as that space is clearing out and moving up, you know, and opening up. So just be mindful of that and let them know that. And let them know that if they want to speak about anything at the end of a session, they're welcome to do that because some things may come up.
Okay, wonderful.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, Sydney, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, James, and this kind of follows on that. We actually have quite a few people right now chatting on Facebook about letting go of the negative voices in their head that have come from perhaps relatives and emotional abuse. Let's see, quite a few people are talking about this. I shake my head because I'm 56-year-old and still deal with this. But Sandra, am I addicted to feeling bad or what? What are some ways that they can clear? And I know we do talk about the mind. I believe it's in lesson 3.
Yes.
But what are some ways they can clear out some of those thought forms and beliefs that aren't part of them?
Well, there's a couple ways we can do that. So number one, what we could do is we can go into a mind journey on their own. And a mind journey would be similar to what we've done for one of the classes, where they can, number one, a couple of things, the first one. So I would always make a list. I always love lists. I love to look at things. So write down 5 or 10 negative reactions, negativities of energy that you're holding on to, okay? And so write down those things. I don't feel loved, not supported, I'm devalued, whatever it might be. And then the next column, write down why. Why do I feel that way? And then the third column is going to be the reason why you're holding on to it. What is it teaching you? What is holding on to that negative energy, that negative thought, the old belief system? Why do you hold on to it? What is the reason why? And they'll be surprised that they'll see, oh, maybe it's from my mother or father. Maybe I still want their love. Maybe it's not, I have fear about it or believe in myself. There'll be a whole bunch of reasons why. So to me, we can stay with that stuff in our heads forever, and it can play around in our heads. But we need to get that on paper and see it in front of us, before us, and it really works out that way. So it comes down to a sense of that we are souls and we're learning, and we pick various soul groups to come back to. And some of these soul groups we have to come back to, sometimes we pick soul groups that are closed-minded or religious or has a certain way of thinking, and that we come in to teach them or to realize that we shouldn't be like that. We don't want to be like that. So there's an opportunity for learning and growth. That's why we come back here. So every single experience in life is a lesson to learn from. And so there's got to be a reason. Why am I holding on to this negativity? Am I still looking for love from my mother or father or someone, acceptance from my family or peers? What is it? And also comes down to loving yourself, believing in yourself. Basically, that's the bottom line, is loving yourself. And I say this, which you heard many times, Emily, which I repeat this because I live by this. What other people think of me is none of my business. Okay? What other people think of you is none of your business, because nobody knows you better than you know yourself. And nobody can love you more than you can love yourself, because nobody knows you better than you know yourself. So it's really a matter of loving your unique, diverse part of who you are, because that's what made you special. And that's what you have to love. You got to love the specialness of you. People might not get you. People may not get you at all. And that's why we come back different, so you can teach them some diversity. Teach them. I had this conversation with someone this morning, a body worker, actually, and we talked about diversity. And that's how we learn, through diversity. So no one has to fit into anybody's square box. Just be themselves, and through that you'll teach people. And there's no reason to hold on to negativity, because that's limited consciousness, okay? And that's fear-based. And fear-based, F-E-A-R, is false ego appearing real. And that's a very human connection. But truly, we are loving beings. That's our soul's natural energy, is love. So the more we can realize that we are loving beings and tune into that energy, things change. I don't think I did it for this course, but I have a mantra that people can use, which is, healthy am I, happy am I, holy am I. And I say that 3 times in the morning, 3 times at night. And what it does, it changes your awareness. It brings you back to yourself. I always put it in a mirror in my bathroom. So I remember to say it in the morning and evening when I brush my teeth. And healthy am I, happy am I, holy am I. And it really does change the programming of your mind around you, brings you back to yourself, loving and accepting yourself. And that's where they should start. So there you go.
Perfect. Yeah, and maybe they can also, those who are struggling with this, write in their journal every day something they love about themselves.
Something they love, but yes, something they love about themselves. So the idea is to put yourself into an atmosphere of love, a frequency of love. So I often say to people, you know, we have a choice. Life is a series of choices, and all choices in life. Life is a series of choices, all it is. Everything we've done in this life is a choice, okay? And choices are based on two things, either love or fear. And if we continue life trying to fulfill a need, great need to be loved by somebody else or accepted by somebody else or fit in, we'll never have that. That's an illusion. So we really got to love who we are at this moment in time and space. The past is past, the future is yet to be. So don't waste the energy worrying about the past or the future. Just live in the moment and live in that space of love, and that'll bring you into the future.
Okay. Perfect. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Allie is the name coming up at 401.
Allie. Hey, Allie.
Hi, it's Alicia.
Alicia. Hi, Alicia.
Nice to speak with you, James.
Thank you.
I actually had two questions. One, I think you kind of touched on earlier. For those of us that are newer practitioners,
mm-hmm.
Obviously we don't want to advertise like crazy, but we do need to get the word out. I know you made a suggestion earlier about local bookstores and such. Do you have any additional guidance on ways to kind of do advertising in a way that aligns with the work we're doing?
Sure. So I don't know if there are any Reiki practitioners where you live. I'm sure there are more places that teach Reiki.
Yeah, I am one.
Okay, you are one. So there you go. First thing's done. So there should be people that you could, even clients, best clients, that want to do some spiritual healing on you. And can we do just some free sessions and see what happens?
Okay.
I would start free sessions. I really would. And then the word will get out. And, you know, I think you're going to be, you know, you're going to be pretty good. I think you're in a good space for it. I think you come with the right intentions, Alicia, and I think that you'll do well.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I think you'll be fine. So that's one question. Yes. You're
Thank
another
you.
One.
Yeah. And I think we get into this in some of the later lessons, but I was curious as to your opinion on using crystals as part of healing.
Right. So I did talk about that to the part of the course. And crystals are fine. You know, everything has a frequency and an energy. And if there are a crystal that has certain properties attached to them that work really well, I would use crystals, no doubt about it. I talk about a grid, forming a grid, crystal grid. And if you want to do some research on that, using particular crystals that have a vibration, you know, you can do the grid where you can do actually either for the chakras, or you can do a grid around a space where you're going to be working with the person. But I would definitely look up the particular crystals which are good to do that grid. So at the head, at the
right.
foot, on either side, I'd look into that. And there's a great book called The Crystal Bible. I'm not sure if you know about it. It's probably
yes.
the best reference book in crystals, so
yep.
that would help you. So,
okay.
yeah, start with that. Perfect. I use crystals
Excellent.
A lot. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, let's go. We have another great one. Actually, a few on Facebook are asking the similar question as well about anxiety, James.
Anxiety.
Shirley says, thank you for offering this course. I'm an empath and noticing as I get older, I get the stronger I feel emotions of others and sometimes pain. This is causing panic attacks to the point where I sometimes need to take medication. What can I do to handle the emotions?
Well, you know, so we didn't talk about this in this course because it wasn't part of this course, but we probably should have made it part of this course. It's really about running the energy. It's really about grounding. It's the same thing. Because when you have a lot of anxiety, that means there's too much energy going on. There's too much happening. Whether it's too much energy in the second, third, fourth chakra, the emotional chakras, which it usually is, the centers, are overwhelmed, and the person tends to get anxious, anxiety-ridden. The energy goes up. And you have to learn how to probably ground yourself to that. So I would say running the energy is a great thing to do that. So I'll mention it again, okay? So if wherever you are, you can do this 10 times a day. I do at least 10 times. Sometimes I do it 20 times a day. You can do it walking. You can do it driving. You can do it in an elevator. You can do it anywhere because it's just having these thoughts. The first psychic I ever went to see said to me, if you can hold the thought for 3 seconds, it's yours. And I agree with that. So we create with our thoughts. So if you have a thought, if you're never listening, to close your eyes. If you have a thought that Mother Earth is below us, that we are more than just this body, that we have an energy field, and our energy of who we are as a soul goes all the way down to Mother Earth, okay, and Gaia, lovely Earth energy, nurtures us, makes us feel secure and safe, and roots us, really. Like every tree, every plant has roots. We also have roots. So just imagine those roots going straight down to Mother Earth and take in her nurturing energy. She feeds us with nurturing energy. And you bring that energy up to the feet and the legs and all the way up to your heart. Feel that grounding energy. That's really what you want to do, okay? Down the arms. Great. And then you imagine that there's a sun above you. And that sun is a cosmic energy, beautiful light, divine light, coming in through the top of the head and going down toward the heart. And that's where you meet the earth energy. So the heavenly energy meets the earth energy. Two become one. You blend them together and feel the difference in the frequencies. Then you put before you, you imagine a shower of that melded energy out in front of you, falling down to Mother Earth. And really what you're doing is then you're clearing out. As you're doing this, you're clearing out. You're making a channel of energy. You're clearing out all the centers, and you're clearing them. So you won't have any excess energy and no more energy of someone else in that space. And you'll neutralize anything. So that's called running your energy. And you can do it for about, I don't know, 5 seconds to 10 seconds. It really works. It works for everyone, not just healers or mediums or psychics, but everybody, every practitioner, everyone in life. It's energy. It's just acknowledging that energy. And it's a great way to get rid of anxiety levels, nervous tension, headaches, a great way to get other people's energy out of your space. I do it all the time when I'm working, after I'm working. So it really does work. Re-energizes. Okay?
Okay. Maybe we can see if we can find that video.
Yeah, really. We should make it a part of this because that's really important.
Okay. All right. We'll email you all with that video. Okay. Let's go to a mystery caller at 503.
We love that mystery caller. It's like a radio hour, mystery radio hour.
Hello?
Hello? Who's the mystery caller? Please enter and sign in.
Hi, this is Michael Hoffert from Salem, Hi. Oregon.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good.
Hey, I have a question for you, and I kind of chuckle about this, but I went through my direct question was earlier about the space, not having enough space, but
okay.
I ran through and did your chakra cleansing
with
you, the video, which was awesome.
Thank
and
you.
When I drew in the light and went inside the chakras, you wanted us to imagine, I feel my three guides, a female and two male around me. And when they come in close, my whole fingertips, toes, and my spine just tingles all to heck.
Okay.
So I know they're there. But
yeah,
when
they're there.
I go through the visualizations with you and you were, wanting us to visualize the guide for each chakra. Well, my guide seems to be the same one with the same white hair, with a white beard, and just a different colored robe for everyone.
Huh.
Every chakra.
Huh. Okay.
Well, I believe that's probably me forcing something, but.
Well, you said it. I didn't. You did. I think that's an easy way for you to look at it. But listen, even if that's the case, fine. I think that there are more than three guides. I think we have a lot of guides. I don't think we just have three guides. You might just be aware of the three guides, and that's fine. And if they just give you a robe for the different chakra points, that's fine too. But really the idea behind this is, and not necessarily have a guide per se for each chakra, but really what we want to know is what is it that we're learning from each chakra point there? What is there to know, that the wisdom that comes from that space, the wisdom that comes from the root chakra that we need to know, the sacral chakra, the heart chakra, what more do we need to know? And that can also be very intuitive as you receive it. Your inspirers, your guides can inspire you just by asking that question as you're sitting in that chakra space. Just, ask that question. I think it's really great to visualize, actually, minimizing ourselves and sitting in that chakra point, like being a really tiny, tiny, tiny being and sitting in that big, big green space or orange space and saying, wow, this is some world, this color. What is this color teaching me? And kind of go on that, I talk about this a lot, the art of discovery. Try to discover more about that space. So that's really the idea behind it, okay?
Okay.
So look at it from that point of view. So not necessarily, we don't need to be regimentation about having the guide there. Maybe just a word or maybe just an insight into each center. That might be more helpful for you.
Okay.
All right, try that way. I think you're really good, Michael. I think you have great energy. I think you're very light. I think you have a lot of positive energy with you and kind of like a star man.
That's what I believe.
I got that word in front of me, clairvoyantly, star man. That's what I just heard. It's right in front of me.
Yeah, I've got Palladian is what I get.
Yeah, that's there from the star. That's right. That's right. Okay,
good.
So thank
you very much.
Thank you, Michael. You're very welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, let's go to Sonia.
Sonia.
At 626-696.
Pasadena.
Yes. Hello, James, and everyone on the call.
Hi, Sonia. I met you before, haven't I, at the bookstore?
Yes.
I thought I met you, yes.
Yes. Now, my question is about, I was listening to the other fear-based questions, and my question was about in regards to babies. When they're in a fear state, how can we help them? And how do they even know about fear so little?
I don't know what that means. What do you mean, the fear state? What are they afraid of?
So that's the thing. So I noticed that my niece, when she right before she's going to, for instance, when she's going to be placed in her car seat, she starts blinking really, really fast, and then she starts, like, panicking, and
okay.
then she starts, her body gets really tensed.
Right. So it might be a security type of thing, that she's used to being with mommy and used to being held by somebody, and this is a very
mm-hmm.
new experience for her, so she's got to learn that experience of separation. So there might be some separation anxiety there going on. So that's, I would say it's more that fear. I would say just say it's a learning, she's learning something brand new about being on her own, which she has to, and that's very normal and very, that's very human, very normal for her to go through that. That's not really fear per se, it's just a new condition that she has to learn through.
Yeah, I did notice too when she's walking, when we're holding her and we're going by our dog.
Yes.
She was fine, but then she starts doing the whole, like, blinking her eyes and kind of
okay.
like she's scared of the dog.
Okay, so let's try something here, Sonia. So when that blinking
mm-hmm.
starts, are you her, you're her aunt, are you?
Yes.
Okay, so it's her mother. Can you talk to her mom and just say, when the blinking starts, Mom, you start singing a very lovely song to her. Start singing a beautiful song that she loves. And, you know, maybe she can recognize that she's sung before, and that makes her peaceful. Try that. Try that every time she has blinking the eyes like that to recondition
Perfect.
Her. And that will work. Okay?
Okay. Thank
All
you.
All right. Thanks, sweetheart.
Perfect. All right. Let's go to Glenn at 817.
Hi. This is Alicia. Glenn's my husband.
Okay.
My
Where are you calling from, Alicia?
Oh, I'm calling from Texas, just outside of Fort Worth.
Okay, great.
And I've just been doing healing for the last couple months. Actually, it was a mentor of mine, his spirit guide, who is an Indian chief, Native American, told me that I was a healer and
great.
To be barefoot outside on the dirt or grass and do it that way. Which
Perfect.
Is what I started doing.
Perfect. Grounding
and,
yourself. Mother Earth, yep. Mm-hmm.
And it works amazing, and it's
yeah.
very strong.
Yeah.
And I'm just, I don't know how to do the transition to because I'm not going to be able to do this in the winter.
Okay, so this is good. This is really, really good. So I want you to have that, you have that strong feeling of what it's like to be on Mother Earth, out barefoot on the earth.
Yes.
And doing your healing work that way. You know what that's like. Because what you're using your earth energy. You're using Gaia's energy, nurturing, healing energy from the earth. You're using that element. So the only thing that changes is that you're inside and there's a coldness. But Earth, she's still there. She's still there. It's just that you're inside. But there's Earth underneath the house. So you can, again, envision those. What I would love for you to do, my love, is
uh-huh.
to create, draw out, and everybody can do this, draw out a tree. Draw a tree that represents you, okay? And that you can identify with, you can reference, and you can put that tree even in your healing space.
Yeah.
And put those roots down to Mother Earth. And then what you can do is you can write down on each root of the tree, why is it that you love working with Mother Earth? Like write a characteristic or write a feeling, or each root should have that, right? And then
yeah.
place that on your wall, the healing space. And that's another way for you to mind to just bring back that Earth energy to do the work.
How's oh, that's
that?
Wonderful.
Okay.
'Cause that's what's so amazing, the power of the mind, the imagination, that makes your intention so much stronger.
Well, you know, the imagination gives the mind the motor to move.
Yeah.
Imagination gives the mind the motor to move. How do you like that? Imagination gives the mind the motor to move. I am.
Yeah, and that's what's so amazing, because, you know, our whole life we're taught Oh, if you're just imagining it, then it's immediately discounted.
Well, you have to imagine something before it comes reality, darling. You have to.
Yeah.
That's really, I mean, all everything in life here is imagined. It's you know, it begins first in the spirit world. Everything is created first in the spirit world, and then it's inspired down below to the lower dimensions of the earth. It gets inspired by architects and creative people and mathematic people and scientists and so forth. But that starts with imagination, inspiration. That's really the same thing. It's being inspired by the spirit world. So there you go.
Yeah, and the guide told me that my purpose is to be an animal communicator and healer.
I think that's perfect. I think that's great for you. But I also, you know, the first words that I got when you said what they told you to be?
What?
The first thing that popped in my head was be yourself.
Exactly. Exactly, because the way I heal is nothing like Reiki. I put my hands over their head.
Yeah,
and exactly. Let the energy go from head to foot, and then if they have one or two little problem spots, I'll put, you know, my hands on them.
Yeah, run the currents of energy. Reiki is the same thing. It's running the current of energy. It's really currents of energy, and it's really it's that quality, the intention behind the current, which is love, which is you're acknowledging that loving divine being, and it's just bringing that divine energy again into. I always see it sometimes also that sometimes people are clogged up in their head, their minds.
Mm-hmm.
And then ends up in the body somewhere. So what I try to do is sometimes opening up the head area, opening up that mind, that space there, the thought space, which when you work with people in healing, you'll notice a lot of people, you start doing the clearing the head, clearing the mind. Wow, there's a lot of gunk there. It's like the attic that someone collects a lot of their old stuff, and it's in the attic, and you got to go all through the boxes and clear it away.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have those cobwebs and stuff, so it's just dissipating that those thought forms and that energy there, bringing that down through their, you know, feet down to Mother Earth, just clearing, making space for them, really is what it is. So I think it's great the way you work. I really, really think it's great. The tree thing is good for you, though. Try that out.
Yes, I'm so excited about that because in my backyard, I work right around, I have this horseshoe of 100-year-old oak trees.
Of course you do. I can see that. You're like Earth Mother, for God's sake.
Yes.
Good.
And
so use that what you know of course.
Yeah, so that's a perfect to bring inside. Okay. Thank
All right.
you so much.
You're welcome. Nice speaking to you, Alicia.
You
Bye-bye.
Too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Let's go to a mystery caller.
A mystery caller.
That's
love it.
951-532.
951. Okay. Mystery caller. Hello? Enter the sign in, please. Yes. Hello.
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 Oh, is this me?
Yes, you. Mystery caller.
Hi, it's Carla.
Hi, Carla. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from California.
Okay. Hi, Carla from California. What part of California are you?
I am in Corona, California.
Corona.
It's a good, nice desert.
Yes, lovely Corona. I know that. I've been there before. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
What's your question,
Hi, James. How are you?
Good, sweetie. How are you?
Good.
Good.
My question is, I'm really new to this, and I've been getting lots of pressure in my arms, radiating, and from the top to the bottom, and then my fingers get tingly.
Yep.
And they feel super rock-like rocks. And I'm like, oh, my God, am I having a stroke?
I don't think you're having a stroke. I don't
but
think you are.
I think it's maybe energy that I don't know
energy.
How to resolve.
Okay. So same thing, running your energy, learning to running your energy, balancing that energy. And that's
mm-hmm.
really what it is. When a lot of healers first begin, they find that certain parts of the body get very hot. A friend of mine, his hands went up. All of a sudden, his hands went up to certain people, and heat would come from them. He didn't know what was going on, and it was healing energy coming through. So that's really what it is. So when it comes to recognize it, acknowledge it, and say thank
okay.
you very much. I'm going to be open the vessel to this healing energy, and then you can try to feel it all over the body, all three of the body, maybe coming through the top of the head, through the body, and recognize it and identify it. Have fun with it. I don't know. Sometimes I call it a name, the energy, universal divine force, or if you're on, that's fine. But that's common. It's very normal. So there's nothing wrong with you, Carla. Okay. Carla, are you there?
Carla's still there.
Okay. Carla's gone, but she got the answer. Okay. Thanks, Carla.
Okay.
Came in as a mystery caller, and she left as a mystery caller. Okay.
It looks like the name is maybe Jackie at 314-220.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Great. How are you? So
I'm great.
To be on the
Thank
call.
You.
So I'm calling from St. Louis, Missouri, and okay. I'm an intuitive empath.
Okay.
And I live in a house of empaths, and my animals are very intuitive. Okay. Or empathic.
How is that all working with you, all the energy there? How does that work for
you? There's a lot of energy in the house.
And are you all Geminis as well?
We're Pisces and Cancer and one Sagittarius.
Oh, my goodness gracious. The poor Sagittarian. Okay.
Yeah. You feel for him, right?
That's yeah, I really do. Yeah, yeah. Wow. Boy, full moons around your house must be really interesting.
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
yeah,
with
sure they've got to be.
Yep. So
how can I help you?
My question is for my I have an older dog that has some liver issues.
That was on Facebook. You wrote this on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Yes, I did. And so I'm feeling like I have some of those things going on too, but not to the degree that he does. But I feel like sometimes that I, to some degree, empath some of his stuff, or maybe he's clearing some things for the house because there's been a lot of anger in the past. In, you know, it's better now, but I feel like his issues are because he's clearing it.
Okay, so are you the Pisces?
I am.
Yeah, figures. Had to be. So I read that on Facebook, and I thought it was really, really interesting. Really, really interesting. And I thought, wow, isn't that amazing? I was just talking about something before. I'm going to tell you that it's a very, very strong possibility that that is exactly what's happening. Because
yeah.
I was once in Brazil, and with a group of people, and we went to go see this lady who people said she was a star woman, you know, from the who knows what galaxy. But she was an incredible healer, and she would also heal with crystals. But people come in and would sit there and or lie there, I should say, and have a session with her, and it was just amazing. And she
mm-hmm.
said this doggy would come in this session, would come in, lay down, she'd do the healing, and the dog would get up and leave. And she said, you know, before I began healing, I had a vision of the mountains over there, and there was this light. I knew I had to do this. And the next day, a dog came. This dog from the street came in.
Yeah.
And that was 5 years prior. And she said exactly what you're saying, that the dog takes on that negative energy and kind of transmutes it. And
yeah,
and
I mean,
throws up or gets, you know, but there should be a way that the dog can, you know, transmute it and get it out of its system, of course. But it's higher intelligence than we are. So, I believe that I really will be open to that for sure.
And so how would I or the other people in our family maybe, I mean, are
well, don't you think if the dog is doing it, the dog would know what it's doing?
Yeah.
Have an intelligence about that beyond us? I think that if the dog is there transmuting energy, I think the dog knows exactly what it's doing. Bringing in through that
okay.
energy and giving it. And why can't you guys do that? Why can't you run your energies and clear everything?
Yeah, which
you know?
Is what I do. As a healer, I do that. I have a Reiki energy healing practice. And my one daughter is now a Reiki master, so she's doing it also. And my husband's kind of catching on.
Okay, so can
slower.
I give you some advice?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's helping, the Reiki thing. I'm not sure it's helping or not, because it still feels kind of like strange in your house. It feels like things
yeah.
are not balanced. So what I would try is try another way of grounding, and you can do this for ground spaces too. So if you sit in the center of your house, the living room, wherever the center is there, and you can also
mm-hmm.
imagine, now here you go, imagine again, just because, you know, I talked about grounding with humans, you can also ground spaces and places. So houses, offices, same thing. Around your house, the bottom of it, of course, Mother Earth energy, the roots that the earth, you know, is holding onto that house. So imagine that the house has roots too, tubes coming down out. And
mm-hmm.
then you want to imagine that the sunlight, the divine light, comes into the top of the house, enlightens every single room. I take a swirl around. I do a swirl coming down, enlightening, taking, clearing out all that excess energy. There's a lot of crazy energy there. There's a lot of that thought
yeah.
energy from all of you, right? The phonetic energy, a lot of phonetic energy. And you need to ground it, sending down those tubes, clearing it all out. And then it's almost like a spotless window. You know, you just clean a window, it's all spotless. That's how the house should feel when you're done with this. So you'll
right.
know when it's cleared by doing that, right? Now, Mother
okay.
Earth is a great one to take a lot of our crap and use it as
right.
fertilizer to transmute it to love. That's what she does. So the more crazy energy, the better, because she needs that energy. Fear energy, anxiety energy, negative energy. She uses that to really recycle. We recycle that. She recycles that and turns it into loving energy to make things grow. That's how she does. So do it. That'd be great. And teach your kids.
I will do
teach
it.
Your husband
yeah.
about grounding the house.
I will. Actually, we'll all do it. That's a great idea.
Yeah. Try it. Okay?
Thank you. Thank
Thanks,
you so
Art.
Much.
Okay, honey.
It.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Love the course.
Love you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Okay, James, should we take one more?
One more, okay.
All right. It looks actually like an international caller. Okay. 35387 is what's coming up.
Hello.
Hello. How are you? Hello.
Hi, James. Hi, how are you? My name is Betsy, and you referred to my question earlier from Facebook.
Okay, Betsy. Great.
About my son. But I had another question about my daughter, who she's older than he is. She's 25, and she has Asperger's. She's a savant. She's highly intelligent, but her emotional intelligence is quite low. How do I help her more with my visualizations, with the healing for her?
Because
her brain works differently.
Right. So you could do what I don't know what her soul journey might be. See. I'm not sure what her soul journey and what her destiny might be.
Of course.
You can't interfere with that. So she might have chosen to have that. Obviously, many people come back in that capacity. Choose to come back there because they have to learn certain lessons or teaching certain lessons. So you can change that.
Of course. I've thought about that. But how do I make her life easier? Because there's just day to day, she has a hard time. Do you know what I mean?
Can she speak?
Oh, she's high. She's like an Einstein. She's like a savant. She's highly intelligent.
Okay. So does she like flowers?
Agoraphobia. She loves flowers. Yeah,
great.
She does.
So what I would suggest is to bring her to a garden store, walk or go to a park in your area.
Yeah, she loves. We do that together. We plant flowers together.
Well, there you go. So sit and discuss the colors of the flowers and what do they feel like. And she might come to a point where she gets she's very in her head, so that'll bring her back to her heart.
She is.
And then you can get her to feel the colors, feel the energy, feel the emotion. She needs to feel the emotion. And that's happy, and that's cool. Do you like that? And you have to guide her. Do you like how that feels? We have that within us, too, you know? And just guide her to that God energy that she has within her. Because she's very in her head. You got to get down to the emotional level.
Correct. Exactly.
So the garden flowers will do it, darling. You hear me? Listen, the flowers will do it. But you have to be willing to open up your emotions and her emotions.
Okay.
Because you, in the past, you pushed things to the side. You didn't want to deal with them, so you pushed them aside.
Correct.
Now you got to look at her face on, and you got to deal with the emotions. And part of the reason you had her was so you, too, have to deal with emotions. Yeah?
Okay.
All right,
yes.
Darling?
And I was just going to say one quick thing. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Just I feel like with her, what keeps being said over and over in my head is bring her joy.
Bring her joy. Bring her love. Love.
Okay.
That's it.
Lucky,
joy is part of the journey. J-O-U-R-N-E-Y. Joy is part of the journey. So your job is to help teach her about emotion.
Okay. Thank you, Jane.
All right, honey. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in and joining us on our first call. Emily, thank you very much.
And, you're welcome.
We're here on the Facebook page, and Emily, you're going to put on Facebook how they can get their reassignment for the homework. Yes.
Yes, and we will send out, I'll look for a video on running your energy, and we'll send it out to you.
That would be great.
In the meantime, everyone can chat on Facebook, and be sure to post your picture of
your sacred
healing thing. Yeah, and maybe we'll
do that tree thing that I gave out to everything with Alicia. You want to do a tree thing? That'd be great, too, to post that.
Yeah. Maybe we'll do a little, contest of that.
That'd be a really good one. I like that.
All right.
Thanks, Emily. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. We'll chat with everyone next week.
Okay. Bye.